All right, everybody, we are live. We are podcasting, Elemental Podcast, Stu McAllister, live from Myrtle Beach.
Ooh, Myrtle Beach.
In the house or condo or whatever you want to call it. I have two guests today. You guys, introduce yourselves, please.
I'm Dennis Bellamy.
James Jones.
But you don't go by Dennis.
I go by Dennis when I'm with friends. Actually, I go by D when I'm with friends.
Okay. Just go with Dennis. D, sir. Go with D.
All right, fine. It's D.
Because, I mean, you know, that's what you are on Facebook, right? Yes. Like, if I were to search Dennis Bellamy, would I find Dennis Bellamy anywhere?
You would find a lot of Dennis Bellamys, but
you'll find a very interesting page.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Is there? I have my fan page started up, so.
All right.
Yeah.
I thought you were going to say something like, yeah, it was a gay porno star or something.
Which would have been awesome. Like,
well, you know, I don't want to divulge too much into this.
The secret of world of Dennis Bellamy. That's why you go by D.
Yeah. James Jones looks at me weird when I mention that.
My name is Dennis. Yeah.
Yeah. Dennis. Yeah. So it's D with friends, Dennis on stage.
Dennis on stage. All right. When you're filling out job applications, it's Dennis.
Yes.
All right. Fair enough. So we're down here in Myrtle Beach at the Carolina Comedy Club. And you guys, when I was here 18 months ago, you guys were here. So you guys consider yourselves local?
Yes.
You're Myrtle Beach guys?
Most definitely. Yes, yeah. Sir.
Okay. Because yes, I know that, and that's part of your act, yeah. James, is where you're like, you know, you've been here 34 years and whatever. So you've seen it all.
Seen everything in everything, yeah.
Because Myrtle Beach is a weird town to me because it's not, it doesn't have like a huge like local population, right? It's a big tourist town.
It's tourists, mostly transient people, you know, a few homeless, you know, this is all here, you know.
Sure.
Yeah.
Every, you guys seen my condoms?
Yeah, exactly.
Travis House looking for condoms.
Which is a normal statement in Myrtle Beach.
Sure, have you seen my condoms? Yeah.
And it doesn't matter if they did or not. Sure. Because we don't use condoms
in Myrtle Beach. We don't use them anyway.
You guys are fucking up my show.
Sorry. First 48 on A&E, which is funny that their slogan is... Their slogan is Be Original, and yet they show nothing but reruns of First 48.
It's like, do you know who did... Yeah, I do. Let me tell you. Get me a lobster. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Get me something in here. So, does that make it easier for you guys or harder for you guys doing shows here? Because it's constantly different crowds, right?
Right.
Not a ton of regulars.
No, none at all. No.
I would think it's a little easier because it's not a lot of regulars, but we get, you know... With the tourists, we get a different crowd base every week.
Sure, right.
You know,
right.
Or every day. Yeah. And it helps, I guess, kind of spread our name out there a little bit.
Okay.
So if I'm thinking, like, comically, you know, if I ever go to another city and, like, oh, yeah, I saw that guy in Myrtle Beach, you know, it kind of helps us out a little bit.
Sure, sure, sure.
I don't want to say we make friends with strangers because that seems a little like something that should be on a pedophile's T-shirt. But it is awesome that we do not run into the normal crowd every single week.
Right.
So... I like it. I like the whole idea of you never know which what every night will bring. So you have different people.
Are your expectations, like, because you guys MC a whole lot, are your expectations to do a lot of crowd work? Do they want you to do crowd work?
They want us to do material. Okay. But then crowd work is very welcome because, I mean, the audience is here, especially in the tourist area like Myrtle Beach, they expect to be involved in the show.
Right.
So they want you to talk about, like, ooh, your head looked funny for some reason, and I hate your T-shirt. You know what I mean? Like, whatever. So they like that. Yeah.
And I've noticed when I've gone in more touristy towns like Vegas or New York City, things like that, where the hosts do a ton of crowd work, and then you go to other ones, like more Midwest kind of cities, where, like, just do your act, do your material, don't get into the crowd or whatever. Yeah. So,
I think especially in the club we're at, Carolina Comedy Club,
check it
Broadway,
out.
You come see it.
Yep.
We want to do material because we're very material specific, given that Jamie Morgan, which is a national touring comedian, I know you've seen him a lot, but he wants us to develop the act instead of depending on crowd work. Now, we do crowd work,
but we
try not to be so heavy on it.
Yeah, but we do a lot of writing, you know, and we do a lot of material. We try to squeak in or squeeze in like a new joke every time we get up on stage. So, you know, we're always adding to our set. So
good. I mean, and that's how you grow as a comedian. All that's right. How you go from emceeing to featuring to headlining and all that stuff. So you always constantly having to work on the material because you can do your crowd work, but then you may never be able to do those jokes again. Nah, it's right. Just in that moment. Nah. So
yeah. It's like, I mean, James talks about Myrtle Beach growing up here in South mm-hmm. Carolina. Like, that's relevant to here.
Sure.
You know, if he goes up to Texas or...
Well, I mean, I could still talk about it because I is a country boy. But so you know what I'm saying. I can talk about
crowd work, it doesn't seem to...
Yes, I don't know how well it translates into, I don't know, San Diego, California.
Right.
Because
right.
I'm talking about Little River, but
right.
whatever. Yeah.
Do you guys find, because there is another comedy club in town, do you guys feel like there is a... I mean, there's always the competition between clubs, but do you guys feel like you're sandwiched in things? Like, you either work our club or their club kind of stuff?
Personally speaking, I haven't had that issue.
Okay.
We're not at that level yet where we have to pick or choose.
Okay.
I think we're able to go back and forth if we wanted to grab stage time to practice.
Okay.
Yes, I don't think it's anybody's grabbing us like, you can't go to the... Comedy Cabana, which is another great club.
Sure.
By the way, if you ever, Jeff or right. Christina, if you listen to this podcast, just keep in mind, Jay Jones love bar everybody.
I do have six yeah. listeners, so okay. it's quite possible.
All right. Yeah.
That would be two
Never
of the six.
Never know. I'm yeah. just saying.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you guys haven't felt a squeeze that way?
No.
Because
no.
I know in other cities where there are two, it's kind of like the, even for guys who are starting off, it's the you, us or them kind of thing, which I find is... bizarre, and it's bad for comedy.
Well, that's what it was presented initially, but at the same time, when we inquired, actually, they didn't care. It was like, come on down, and okay. we want new people, and they want that because in Myrtle Beach is such a small comedy community.
Right.
There's only so many comedians, only so many people. Actually, I was going to say only so many people doing comedy.
Right.
They want as many people as possible, and they don't. And the other club, they don't want to get pigeonholed just these set of people.
Sure.
And it's the same thing at Carolina Comedy Club, the best club in Myrtle Beach, other than Comedy Cabana. And once again, but, Jeff and Christina, if you're listening, I'm there for you too.
They are in North Myrtle Beach, by the way.
They're in North Myrtle Beach.
So they are the best club in North Myrtle Beach.
Yes. All right, very good.
Restaurant Road.
Restaurant Road. Yeah.
Is there a huge difference between the two clubs and like how they manage and run things?
Yeah.
Yes, but it's just like every business you go to. Like, you know, if you go to Burger King versus
sure.
McDonald's, yeah, different.
Sure.
But yeah, there's different management styles. There's different.
Which one? Carolina Comedy Club is McDonald's or Burger King on this one. Set yourself up a disaster, D. Carolina, go ahead.
I would have to say they are McDonald's.
I would say they're Subway.
Subway.
They're Subway, yeah.
Very good.
Yeah. Let's just say Subway.
Subway? Yeah. Like you go.
Nothing wrong with that.
Ball, right.
Yeah.
The $5 foot long.
$5 foot long.
So what do you get? Like, so then you guys see a ton of nonsense coming into the club with crowds, and you see a lot of different acts come in. So what do you guys want to do for yourselves? Because you don't want to stay in Myrtle Beach forever and always. I can't
Why
imagine.
Why not? It's a major city.
It's almost like
it's a metropolis.
It's nice. It is nice staying in like a smaller area where you can kind of do your thing and be that person. But then to grow eventually, you do have to move to a bigger market.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
Far as where we want to take the comedy.
Yeah. Where would you want to be?
If I could make any choice at the moment and it was without any limits, of course, New York.
Okay.
California. Okay. I mean, like, well, New York or Los Angeles.
Sure.
New York more because of the grittiness of it. That's right. The comedy mecca.
Right.
So why not go to where, you know, the Richard Pryors and the Eddie Murphys and the Chris Rocks and the Louis C.K.'s and all those people went? I mean, right. Like, why not just go to the, you know, that place? But at the same time, Atlanta is really coming up.
Atlanta's growing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot of opportunity. That's the good thing about it now. Is especially when we started, which is not, what, 2 years ago, give or take?
2 years ago, yeah. 2 years ago for me, just last week, actually. No, actually 2 days ago.
What?
Yeah. Oh, congratulations.
I'm always amazed at guys who remember their anniversaries.
Actually, somebody had to post on my Facebook timeline.
Oh, someone did it for you?
Yeah. May 5th, 2014 for me. I'm sorry.
There you go.
The Cinco de Mayo is kind of hard not to remember.
Gotcha, for sure. Yeah, on a specific day like that.
I agree with James. Like New York City, just for the fact that like you get more clubs, little stage time, but still more clubs, and you can hit areas and work on sets and learn to learn what works, what doesn't work. So
how are you guys going to know when you're ready to move? Like when you're, I'm out of here, Myrtle Beach.
There's
suck
a
it.
Tingling that happens. It's just like puberty. Sure. And then you're like, oh, I think I should move to New York now. No. In all honesty, it's when the, I think, at least from my personal experience, and by the way, my name is James Jones. I think from my perspective is when the material matches the act. In other words, where I can go on stage and I can be as comfortable as possible and it doesn't matter what crowd I'm in front of.
Sure.
Then I feel that, okay, well, now I can... It's time for me to start moving because I can start throwing out more and more material that, heck, if I think about it in the day, I can just put a performing on stage and get it to work better. But that's where I look at it. I'm just material, material, material. You know, the more material, if I had 3 hours right now, I'd be in New York.
Sure.
Other than other issues, but whatever.
Yeah. Material, like I said, comfortability. Mm-hmm. You know, and the ability to read the audience if they're not going with a joke to be able to say, oh, I'm going to switch to this. Let's see how they like that. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, be able to just to wing it up in a way. Still have your material, but still have that little...
The transition from material right. to different material.
Right.
So what is the biggest influence for you guys when you're writing your stuff?
Marijuana. I mean, that's joking. I'm joking, podcast. Yes, I'm not. But yeah. Stupid life. Me personally, I like James Jones, by the way. I listen to a lot of NPR. I watch a lot of CNN, Fox News, stuff like that. If I see something stupid or I find stupid that's political or that's relevant and it bothers me, anything that bothers me is the things that I write jokes about.
Okay.
Anything. And that could be, like, especially now I'm going delving into more family health issues. Mental health issues with black community stuff, like just things that bother me, and I try to find a funny in it. Because comedy is a buffer, by the way, it's a buffer.
I would have to say for me, it's Dennis Bellamy, D Bellamy, whichever way. I don't give a care.
Hey, D.
I would have to say it's just people watching. Everyday life is where I draw my stuff from. I do like to sometimes resort to my family because I have a Filipino mother who English is not her first language. Okay. It's kind of like a tertiary for her, and I use the word tertiary in a correct way.
Safe black,
yeah, safe black.
Can you tell about safe black? Do you mind?
Safe
Please
black.
Do.
All right, so safe black is when I first started it. It was basically a white woman who wanted to date a black man and still inherit the family fortune.
Okay.
So you're like, mom, dad, this is you know, Dennis.
Or Robert. Or something. Robert. You know, James.
Sure. He has a name.
Carlton.
Yeah,
Carlton.
He has a name which doesn't divulge his ethnicity, you know.
Sure.
But then after a while, I was like, well, you know, it can't just be because black women date white men. So it's encompassing all white people who want to date any black people, but still want to inherit that family fortune. You know, some examples are, you know, does he drive a Volkswagen Beetle? You know, that's
right.
It's pretty safe.
That's pretty safe. Right. You know, does he prefer, or does he say his potato salad is zesty? You know,
does he use cursive on a resume?
Yeah, safe black.
So this is stuff that you use in your act?
I have used it once in a while.
Okay, because I know you've done some memes and things like that.
I've done memes. I've done a little bit of like Facebook status posts and whatnot.
Sure.
I have created a page for that as well. So, right. You know, it's called That's Safe Black, by the way.
Oh, Safe Black on Facebook?
Yes.
Facebook has a Safe Black?
Yes. Right. It is there. So if you want to hit me up on that, please, by all means, share them with the world. I am the actual meme, by the way.
Every six of you listeners, you need to go to Safe Black us on Facebook. Look up D Bellamy.
D Bellamy.
Yeah. He has a picture of his penis on the cover, which for some reason
is kind
of
odd.
It's not safe black.
But it's small, so you can't see it. So it is
small, so it's ultra safe.
Yes. Well, I'm part Oriental.
Part Asian.
Yeah, part Asian, so.
Part Oriental.
Instead of an egg roll, he has a spring roll.
Yes, exactly.
That's funny.
But yeah, so, you know, and like I said, I draw from my mother, my father, and that's, yeah, everything that I notice in, you know, life.
Where did the safe black thing kind of come from? I know you said that was kind of like your stuff, but...
me and James were at our favorite watering hole, Chuck and Ducks in Myrtle Beach, by the way. And we were just people watching.
Right.
And it just happened like a black guy walked by. He did something, or he was just walking. I don't know.
Probably had loafers on or something.
Something.
Cardigan.
Something stuck out. And we're like, that's safe black. Like, that is like, you would not be threatened by that gentleman there. You would, you matter of fact, you might say, hey, guy, come on over and hang out with us.
Right.
And
babysit my kids.
Well, I think he had an AKC approved poodle or some shit. I don't know. Whatever happened.
Yes, something along those lines. It's just, that's how safe black came
out. So then you guys were just listing things.
Oh, yeah, we were all shooting up a lot of stuff.
You can think of, yeah. But it's just, what some people would say normal is a little different for our culture.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Actually, I would say that's the left field, you know. Mm-hmm. Basically, Carlton from Fresh Prince is safe black.
Right.
Like, you know, that is him to the T, except maybe a little bit too much more Republican.
Right.
Oh, no.
Yeah, because I don't know if you vote for Donald Trump, I don't know if you necessarily safe black.
Yeah.
That's a little weird.
Crazy. You're crazy black.
Yeah, you're crazy black.
Yeah, exactly. Like, he's almost ghetto. Because that's how crazy you are. But, you know, and that's how it started. And that's, you know, I've been working on stuff for like about 2 months now.
Sure.
3 months, I think.
Because I think it's an interesting shtick that I think does work kind of like with the written word or the memes and things like that. And I was just wondering how that transitions on stage.
Well, on stage, I bring it up as a, like, I start off with like, well, Black Lives Matter, kind of like your
right,
thing.
Right.
But like, I emphasize like, well, black, I think it's stupid. I want to help everybody out.
Sure.
Especially, you know, you ladies who want to date a black man. And, you know, then I go into giving examples and stuff like that. Bitch, by the way, I there was a gentleman at Chuck and Ducks early tonight, which I was like, hey, man, what's your name? He's like, oh, my name's Kevin. I'm like,
oh, that's safe black.
And I told him, I was like, sir, you're safe black. He chuckled. He looked at me, he's like, that's right, I am safe black.
It's like an unwritten rule, we get it.
Yeah.
You know, you say safe black, we're like, oh, yeah, yeah. That's
right. Yeah, I know, I'm aware. I'm aware.
And like I said, I hope to actually continue with this stuff. I hope to actually put it out,
turning it into a good bit. I mean, I think it definitely would be a good bit. So, he's got to find a way to work it out.
Oh, yeah.
Do you guys find that there's any subject matter that's off limits for you guys? Anything that you definitely don't want to joke about?
I know for me, and this is... All right. So, when I first started doing it, I went to an open mic, and I had my family and friends come out, and I was sitting next to my dad, and my dad's black, so he... before I go up on stage, my dad like, son, you can say anything you want to say on stage, just don't say the N-word.
Mm.
So I don't put that in my sets.
A black man that says the N-word, yes, literally is safe black. I say nigga.
He does. James will say it.
And is that
not as a greeting?
Is that your character, or is that kind of just in your vernacular? That's just what you say.
Well, I'll only say it's. I say it maybe once or twice in the entire. I don't like saying the word that much. I like to bring recognition to the fact that it's crazy that we have words that other people can't say.
Sure.
I think it's stupid.
Right.
It doesn't make. It's 2016. We already know what the word meant, and it means it's something entirely different to whatever generation you're in. You got people who are under 20, and that word doesn't mean anything racial. It just means a person.
Yeah.
And then you have people over the age of 60 and they were like, well, those niggas need to get in the back of the bus. You know, you don't say
so. Right.
It just depends on what generation. So I look at it like it's a word. You only answer to what you don't have to answer to what you're called, if that makes sense. And it's growing up in, especially in South Carolina and being here as long as I've been here, I've heard it many different ways. And a lot of times wasn't so nice.
Sure.
To say the least.
Sure.
And you get to a point where it doesn't bother you. Because if you allow it to bother you, then you react to something that someone says out of pure ignorance.
Right. Fun fact, I am more offended when somebody calls me boy than if I heard anybody call me, you know, N-word.
Say it.
I'm not going to say
it. Release your inner N-word.
You can say it on the podcast. Your dad's not listening.
Yeah, he probably is. He's like, he's one of your
six. He's one of the six? Your dad? That's
good. Right, I wonder when Stu's going to put out another podcast.
It's going to be a while.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't say that. And other thing, there's not really much else I don't talk about. I'm just trying to actually, I'll find the subject matter and try to curtail it to me, to make it comfortable for me, you know. So
can I talk about stuff I can't talk about?
Sure.
Which is, I don't know. That's the beauty of Myrtle Beach, and also the bad thing is that when you have crowds that's different every single night, you don't know what's going to hit the people. That, you know what I'm saying? So you have people from Michigan, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and then if you put them all collectively, it could get that weird vibe when you say something that's edgy and it falls flat because they don't want to address the problem. So, like, if you do jokes about HB2, which is North Carolina, which is a real issue, some audiences, they'll go with it, and some audiences get quiet because they do not want to address the issue. And I think that's the reason why I like doing relative topical material, is because it gives you not only, you have a lot of fodder for it because you watch it on news all the time, but at the same time, you can really test the audience quick, because you hit a joke and it hits a nerve, you know, not to go that direction.
Right.
You turn and go this other direction.
Go the other way.
Let me talk about how chubby I am. Sure. Whatever, you know. But
But that is a material that you want to do, though.
Oh, yeah. Edgy, topical, because that is, in my mind, things that need to be talked about.
Sure.
You know, and those are the things, like I say, anything that bothers me is the things I want to talk about. So
does it bother you then when you're telling a joke like that and the crowd's not coming along with you and like, fuck, talk about Walmart or whatever the hell to get them on your side.
And I address it too, because I'm like, well, why? Why are we getting quiet now?
Sure.
Because you're seeing it on CNN 13 hours on the same topic. And why is it now when we hear it on from somebody on stage, when we know that we're at a comedy club, why can't we just chuckle at it? Because these issues are so mundane. Well, actually, let me put it like this. These issues are stupid. There really are stupid issues that we're so quiet about because we don't want, I don't know if this next person next to me is going to be offended. Well, that's Bob. I mean, that to me, just in that idea that I can't laugh. I don't have the freedom of laughter no more. You know what I mean? That bothers me more than
is
anything.
Is that the PC culture?
Yeah, we can say PC. Let's say PC culture because it's easy to say PC culture. The PC culture, which I know is under attack, and I know more and more people are going to, all right, let's not cuss. Let's not talk about touchy issues. Let's not talk about things that's going on in the real world. But if we say PC culture, then what are we talking about? You know, ultimately, what we're going to talk about, I went to the grocery store. Well, you know, I don't hate those self-checkout lines. I mean, like, it doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
We live in a volatile society. We live in a world where we have ISIS. I ain't going to talk about ISIS.
Right.
You know what I mean? But at the same time, we still live in that type of world. So why let the comedy club be the safe place? It doesn't make any sense.
That's what I understand. Yeah. Like, some comics came over a couple months ago, and they were talking about Portland, Oregon, having safe rooms, for you know, safe clubs. I'm like, what is a safe club? Like, apparently, it's a club where you get booked at, and you...
Facts. Don't say that word. It hurts people's feelings.
We're in our safe room right now, man.
Hey, not to break up your shit. You want to go to Waffle House or not?
When
you're done.
Yeah,
we can go to Waffle House.
Fuck, I'm in a show.
It's right down the road.
Sure. The Waffle House break.
You cannot turn down a Waffle House.
Did you find your condoms?
Yeah.
Very good. That's good. So they were talking about a safe house?
Yeah, like safe place or a safe comedy house, whatever. And like you just go there and they have certain rules where you can't talk about certain things. And, you know, and they apparently draws a big crowd over there.
It sounds completely awful to me.
Yeah.
And it sounds like I'm not familiar with that, and I don't care. Like I like you, I want to talk about kind of like more edgy or difficult subject matter. Yeah. And if it offends you, that's your issue.
Yeah. Exactly.
That's something you're going to need to deal with.
It's called how do you live in a real world when the world is so cold and harsh? It doesn't make any sense, you know.
Yes.
It's not. I read an article that's talking about the Barney culture. I love you.
Oh,
you love. Yeah, that's exactly what it is right now. Yeah, but I don't want to attack the millennials, and I don't want to attack people under the age of 30 or under the age of 25. I just think that there's so many different issues. Like, I have friends, and you have friends,
yeah,
that's come back from Afghanistan and they've seen all kind of crazy shit.
Yeah.
They don't want to talk about nonsense. They want to talk about real world issues, and I just think that's what we need to talk about. But like I said, I don't want to push my own like little agenda, but at the same time, I want to be able to, the reason why I got to stand up in the first place is to be able to talk about the things that's on my mind. And you look at back in the history of stand-up, it's always the people who are able to, like Richard Pryor, he's able to talk about his life.
Mm-hmm.
The things that was bothering, the things that he's seen, the cultural differences, the conflicts and everything. He was able to talk to it in a freely manner.
Yeah, George Carlin.
George Carlin, yeah. You know. I mean, there's a host of comedians that make careers out of talking about real life stuff. And I think that's what comedy is all about. Comedy is not about segmenting it to, let's not talk about the non-offensive. That doesn't make any sense, because comedy speaks truth to power. That's right. I mean, mm-hmm. Is that intelligent enough for podcast language? It speaks truth to power. And as long as you can do that, then we're doing comedy. If you can't do that, then I don't know what it's called. I don't know what it is after that. I don't know.
As young comics, we're still building our own platform, mm-hmm. so that one day we can be able to, you know, say what we want to say and not be judged too harshly. You know, because right now, if we, James talks about, you know, the North Carolina bathroom issue, you know, like, well, that comic is not funny now, you know, and he's shooting himself in the foot with that crowd.
Sure.
You know, and next comic that comes up, you're like, well, what's he going to talk about? And then you get the arms crossed and the, mm-hmm. I don't want to, I'm already judging him because he might say the same thing. So, it's rough and it's tough, but, you know.
But a lot of it is just it's finding your voice and the things that you guys want to talk about. And I think sooner or later, if you guys stick with it, it's the crowd will find you.
Exactly, right. Yeah.
Because I don't think you don't want to appeal to everybody. I don't want to appeal to everybody. Like that crowd tonight, they can all go fuck themselves.
Exactly, yeah.
I didn't care. I wasn't doing what they wanted to hear, but there you go.
You see how the club worked. Like last night, the crowd's very responsive. Right. They loved you. They enjoyed it. Tonight, they're a little more quiet.
Yes.
Not saying that they hated you or didn't, your material wasn't good. It's just that the crowd,
it wasn't there,
it's just the way it is. And like I said, that is one thing I think people overlook, especially in an area like this, is that we have to face the change of the audience. We do not have necessarily locals every night. We don't have the same audience.
Yeah.
So it's like really like traveling. Like every night, you're traveling to a new city because the people are coming from other cities.
That's why I look at it. We're the weirdest road comic right now, in a sense.
Yeah. So
you're the road comic that doesn't ever have to leave.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
Do you find that weird in the wintertime? Because that's when it's the bad season for you guys.
It is.
So it's kind of the doldrums of comedy in the winter, which is weird because that's when it's hot everywhere else.
Yeah, but it's more like the, let's go to a comedy show. You sure? Do you think they can do Bill Cosby's type of material?
Well, Bill Cosby is a little weird.
But you know what I'm saying? They want the, and that's the, and I would say that's a hidden gem, because every now and then, especially in the wintertime, no matter what the age is, you will get the responsive audience. You can have an audience that's the average age of 60, but they're fun. 60.
Sure,
like
sure.
They're the 60-year-old that was like, let's roll up these, what they call it back then, they call it
a doobie.
Let's smoke a doobie and let's go listen to some damn. Yeah, I mean, like that. You get those type of audiences every now and then in the winter. And then, of course, you get the let's go play golf kind of audience, which is
much more conservative.
Yeah, I hope they talk about candy canes and cotton candy on this one, because I don't know what the heck they're talking about.
It's tough. It's tough, man.
Talk about being a grandchild. Like, no, I don't want to.
I don't want to talk about that. Mm-hmm. Do you guys have influences now? I know you guys mentioned like Carlin and Pryor, but is there anyone working today that you're like, that's the guy?
I mean, I met a lot. I mean, you...
Sure.
Especially Stu. Stu was awesome. Stu was freaking awesome comic.
Elemental podcast.
Travis House.
Travis House is awesome. Yeah.
All the guys will go to Waffle House with us.
Yeah.
The guy's working now.
It wasn't. I'm not even talking to anyone who like has been to the club.
No, you're talking about in general.
In general, anybody.
Chris Rock always gonna be.
Sure.
He's the one that when I first heard Chris Rock, and I don't mean to take over the podcast. Mm-hmm. By the way, my name is James Jones. I'm a very handsome dude, little chubby, but that's all right.
He's like a chubby Denzel Washington.
Exactly. Picture chubby Denzel. He's working on a role. Don't worry about it.
Yeah.
Look, but Chris Rock, always going to be Chris Rock.
Sure.
Because Chris Rock, I remember Chris listening to Chris Rock album in Art 2 in high school when I was in the 10th grade or 11th grade. And I was like, that's the first person I heard that did stand-up comedy that hit on a relative topic that we were always talking about.
Sure.
Which is the N-word joke, as D would say. I would say nigger versus black people, which is a freaking good bit.
It's great.
First time I heard it, and I was like, this is amazing. It is
a good bit.
How can you do this?
Yeah.
And people get paid for that. Right. And then, of course, Dave Chappelle.
Sure.
Yeah. Mostly black comedians, by the way.
What did you think of Chris Rock when he hosted the Oscars?
He hit every point perfectly.
Yeah.
Even though he had a little bit, because, of course, he says something about Asian kids building iPhones. Well, they do build iPhones. Right. In China, Asian kids build iPhones. Deal with it, liberals.
Right.
Me, Dennis Bellamy. I look like a like if Kung Fu Panda had sex with a black person.
Is that what we're
and
now?
Had diabetes.
And listen, had diabetes.
Had diabetes.
I would say mine is like Joe Coy. He's a Filipino comedian. Donald Glover. A
lot of racial humor, right?
Yeah, he makes fun of his own culture. So, sure. And which is hard for me here because Filipinos are
right.
Very hard to come by. There are more Mexicans here than Filipinos.
Mm. You should just do Mexican jokes.
I should do more Mexican jokes. Donald Glover, an up and coming,
really?
Or actually, I guess a kind of established comedic actor out there.
What is it, Childish Gambino?
Childish Gambino, he raps, he does stand up, and he does movies, and but TV at least.
Mystery Team, did you see that
he
movie?
He did Mystery. I enjoyed Mystery Team.
That was one of my favorite
Aubrey
movies.
Aubrey Plaza was on that, and I was like, holy shit, Aubrey
Plaza. Don't talk about my crush. Aubrey, if you listening.
She's one of the six.
Let me give you the phone number.
Aubrey Plaza, yeah. And like
fiery.
Yeah, she's got that quirky, sexy look, though. Like,
sure.
Like, sexy librarian, you know. Like, I would be returning a lot of late books, so I get punished.
She would have sex with you and play Final Fantasy.
Oh,
that's awesome.
There you go.
Yeah. Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah.
Those are a couple of my influences there, so, yeah.
Anything that you see, like, in the comedy world here in Myrtle Beach that you guys fucking hate? It could be anything from open mics that you guys go to or to other comics that come in. Anything that you see, you're just like, motherfucker. I'm always curious as to like what newer guys. I'm like, I fucking hate this shit.
We too much on the podcast.
We do workshops Saturdays. Every Saturday we do a workshop, and every now and again, some guy will come into the workshop.
Uh-huh.
Oh man, I can do y'all what y'all do. I can do what y'all do. All right, come on to the workshop.
So the lack of respect.
Yeah, but we had this one guy come in. And I think James knows what I'm talking about. He came in. He's like, oh, man, I can do this. And then he went up there and he told his little bit of life story and talking about MDMA or raping girls or whatever. I don't know. Basically putting himself on blast in front of all of us.
Sure.
And then we're like, well, that's not what we talk about, you know. When he's like, well, I already had two pitchers of beer. I thought you guys were drunk when you got up on stage. I'm like, no, we act drunk.
Yeah. We act like we have something in our system at all points. Well, some of us act, and some of us just...
Well, I've seen some comics.
I'm a method actor. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, yeah.
Just like Denzel. Denzel's a method actor.
Yeah. There you go.
But yeah, he was just... You know, we get those guys that come in who think that this is what stand-up is about, you know.
Sure.
And no. It's always fun to watch, though.
It is. I think my gripe is more so to the fact that we have a limitation. Being in that this area is tourist entertainment driven,
sure.
We don't have a lot of opportunities for comedy.
Right.
And that's my own thing. Like, I get what he's saying. People, and I just want time.
Right.
So give me time on stage or give me a way of getting time. And I think that's the biggest issue in Myrtle Beach for me personally, mm-hmm. is more so less people, less type of jokes, less. It's just being able to actually do comedy. And you only have literally two places to do it.
Sure. There's unless no other open mics or anything in town? Nothing?
You, okay. And then we're in a unique situation where we're so connected to the clubs.
Yeah.
Carolina Comedy Club and Comedy Cabana.
Right.
Where we don't want to compete with it because...
Gotcha. Shooting yourself in the foot.
Exactly. Yeah, like,
gotcha.
Oh, so y'all doing them?
Right.
Yeah.
Do you guys travel at all? Do you guys leave the area to hit a stage anywhere?
We try a few times, you know... Charleston's what 2.5 hours away, so we try to go down there.
Mm-hmm. Wilmington.
I have yet to go to Wilmington. I want to go there.
I've been there.
Yeah. I wanna hit up Dead Crow.
Dead Crow.
I wanna hit up that Dead Crow. Good, yeah. And get up on that stage. Yeah. Sure. Greenville, I've gotten many of you should come up to Greenville, you know, my talking through friends of mine who one owns it, and the other who hosts, or and I guess he's the house host over there.
Gotcha.
So he's like, yeah, come on up anytime, I'll get you on stage. So
you definitely need to leave just to see what works, right, in front of other crowds, yeah, and audience, because I definitely feel like when I travel to different just parts of the country, it's like this shit's working here and this shit is not working here. Yeah. So it's weird when you actually see that when you're on stage doing it.
Oh yeah, I can't wait to try out up north, see how that works for me. So and up north being like New York or Jersey or...
Sure.
past Virginia.
Metropolitan.
Yes.
Big city.
Yes.
So is that like in the next year, what do you guys see yourselves doing?
Within the next year, featuring.
Mm-hmm.
Featuring is good, yeah. I don't want to just take... featuring and also getting to the point where we're producing more content for the internet.
Yes.
Oh, you guys have like a webpage or a...
We've got... me and James have been brainstorming a while, and we're actually... Tomorrow, we'll be starting to shoot some people watching stuff and, you know, some videos, and we'll put them on YouTube and stuff like that. So,
great.
So look out for that. All 60,000 listeners that...
Six listeners.
60 million. We all know Stu's got a lot of people.
Yep.
So look out for that, yeah.
Do you have a name for it?
Not yet. We haven't decided. I was thinking about it earlier today, but I haven't come up with anything.
But what we're planning on doing is taking a camera and sitting out the back deck of Chuck and Ducks and talking a whole bunch of junk about a whole bunch of tourists that's walking by us.
Sure.
Yep.
As we usually do every Saturday.
So it'd be like the people of Walmart, but the people of Chuck and Ducks.
The best way I could describe it is, if you remember the Muppets, the two old guys that sit at the top.
Yeah, Waldorf and Statler.
Yeah. So
we're guys talking shit.
Yeah, we're just going to talk shit. A lot of shit.
So if you happen to be walking in front of a camera lens and you get made fun of, sorry, you did it to yourself.
Yeah. Well, that's a good way for you guys to get draw some attention to yourselves. Like you were saying, it's the content, because you can't, everyone today will tell you can't just do comedy. It's impossible. Yeah, you have to have the podcast or the web series, or you're on TV, or you're in a movie, or you got to have it from some other direction.
Right.
So, I mean, that's a good way for you guys to draw some attention to yourselves. How about stand-up wise? What do you guys see yourselves doing a year from now? You hitting some festivals? I know you said you want to start featuring.
I would like to hit some featuring. I would like to get enough. Like I said, we've got, me and James are close enough to do feature time.
Great.
We've written enough material to get that level. We just got to iron them all out and make it flow. Festivals would be nice, but I know like more for the connection, the networking, than the actual like, hey, I won. No, I just want to network.
Right. So. And that's how you have to look at all these things. There's networking opportunities, networking, talking to other comics or bookers or managers, whatever. So this is the business end of comedy is what's going to crush you people.
Right.
I hope you understand that.
Oh, yeah, it's already coming. We see it. It's like here's your dream. Well, let's just stuff that out.
Right, well, right.
Because here's the rest of life, yeah.
It is awful. All right, let's end it on this then, fellas. If people wanted to find you on the interwebs, do you guys have a website? I mean, you said you got the Facebook page. If someone wanted to find you, where would people find you?
You can find James Jones at QuickLube, gayporn.com, or JJ Trey Comedy on Instagram and JJ Trey Comedy on Snapchat. You can also find me on Twitter as Obese Sprinter.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's that a good
lost,
one. Yeah.
You should put that loss to Jamie Morgan on that tag.
Which one?
The obese sprinter.
Oh, yeah, obese sprinter, yeah. And also, of course, on Facebook as James Jones or Voracious Tech, which is on Facebook.
There you go.
Mm-hmm. Me, you can find me on Facebook as D Bellamy if you want to friend me. If you want to like me, it's Dennis Bellamy. On Instagram, I'm known as Sumo Comic. And I didn't go into that, but SUMO is actually an acronym that stands for Slightly Urban, Mostly Oriental. So
you can find us at the Waffle House, dog.
Let's say we're almost ending here.
Yes.
We're ending here.
At the Waffle House.
Instagram is Negro Pino, so yeah.
Well, there you go. All right, fellas, thank you for being on it. Elemental Podcast. Everybody listening, go listen on iTunes and SoundCloud. Thanks. Have a good day.